do what it says. Dismissed. I don't know why I get these people all the time. Oh, I don't know. Anyway, the scripture verse that Calvin's going to be preaching from is based on Matthew, chapter 5, verses 33 to 48. And I'll be reading from the Living Bible. Again, the law of Moses says, you shall not break your vows to God, but must fulfill them all. But I say, don't make any vows. And even to say by heavens is a sacred vow to God, for the heavens are God's throne. And if you say by the earth, it's a sacred vow, for the earth is his footstool. And don't swear by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the capital of the great king. Don't even swear by my head, for you can't turn one hair white or black. Just a simple yes or I will, or no I won't. Your word is enough. To strengthen your promise with a vow shows that something is wrong. The law of Moses says if a man gouges out another's eye, he must pay with his own eye. If a tooth gets knocked out, knock out the tooth of the one who did it. But I say, don't resist violence. If you are slapped on one cheek, turn the other too. If you are ordered to court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat. If the military demand that you carry their gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. Give to those who ask, and don't turn away from those who want to borrow. There is a saying, love your friends and hate your enemies. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way you'll be acting as true sons of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust too. If you love only those who love you, what good is that? Even scoundrels do that much. If you are friendly only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even the heathen do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect.
Morning, church. It's good to open God's word, isn't it? Amen. Our God is faithful. And I'm really enjoying these series, and I'm finding a real challenge as I look into the Word and see what Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 5. I really enjoyed you last week, Mark. I think you were excellent. I think that was, well, the Lord was excellent through you. And it really, really touched my heart, getting how much we need to walk so much closer to the Lord. I woke up with a song on my lips this morning. Fresh oil, anoint me with fresh oil. I want to get closer, Lord, so much closer to you. And I believe that God wants to anoint each and every one of us with a fresh anointing. Amen. If you're hungry for a fresh anointing, it's good that you're here today, because God is here. Amen. As you can see, what Sharon and I were trying to bring about this morning is that about the Jews and their keeping of their oaths that they promised. And it's easy for any one of us to swear that we're going to do something and not do it. If you're in a court of law and you lie, what do they call that? Very good. It carries a very stiff penalty, doesn't it, for lying in court and stretching the truth. Well, no, I just lie. You know where liars go, don't you? Yeah, right. Now in Jesus' time, the Jews were truly aware of what the law and what it said. They were conversant, very conversant with the Torah. But in these verses, Jesus is catching them out. He said, you haven't used God's, they said they haven't used God's name in vain. He's catching them out and said, God's word says. They didn't know that that what it was to say no is no and yes is yes. You see, for the Jews to use God's name was an absolute no-no, because it's so holy, so awe. So they would swear by something else. I won't use God's name. The Jews would often use the word Hashem, or the name, or Adonai. So they would sidestep it. They were good at sidestepping it. They weren't very good at saying, well, I'll just keep my word. They'll swear by other things. I'll swear by heaven. Well, that's where God lives. Earth is his footstool. Jerusalem is the city of the great king. I'll swear by my head. Well, even that belongs to God, doesn't it? And the hairs of your head. They all belong to God. So they would sidestep it, wouldn't honor their word. Well, you've sent your workers to work in my field. I'm too busy, I can't repay you. And that's how good the Jews were at stretching the truth, taking it a little bit further. What are we recording God's word? As you can see what Sharon was sharing this morning from Matthew chapter 5. Keeping your word. To be a man or a woman of God is keeping your word. It's like a statement of your character. If your character is right, it means when you say no, it means no. There's a famous clipping that I've seen on the internet, and I remember my parents telling me about it, about Neville Chamberlain. Do you remember? No, some of you may. Neville Chamberlain was the Prime Minister of England at the time of the Second World War, and he went to Munich to see Adolf Hitler, and he comes back and he gets off the plane. And he's got a piece of paper and he's waving it. Peace in our time. Peace in our time. Did Hitler honor his word? No, he didn't honor his word. Did Neville Chamberlain speak rashly? Yes, he did. He spoke rashly. He didn't speak rashly at all. Let's not speak out to appease someone or to impress someone. Speaking first before we have forethought it through is not a good idea. Very true? You remember Peter the Apostle? And Jesus at the Last Supper, he's saying to them, you know, all of you will fall away. And Peter said, oh, Lord, I won't deny you. I won't deny you. I'll be right there. I've got your back. What happened? And he said, oh, Pete, I love you. I love you, Pete. But you will also deny me 3 times. So Peter realized, too, it's possible to fall. Even though you're going to say, yes, 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 I'll be there, I'll keep my word, I promise. Ecclesiastes 5:2. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth, therefore let your words be few. God wants us to be as reliable with our speech as He is. Weigh your words carefully. Avoid words like always, absolutely, or never. Like, I will never do that. And I've been guilty of saying, yes, I'll be there on time. I promise I'll be there on time. And then they say, well, I'll be there at midday. And my children would say, Mum, he's not going to be here until 4 o'clock. And he's not here at 4 o'clock. Well, maybe he'll be here at dinner time. I'll get around to it. I never exceed the speed limit. It's better, this is Abraham Lincoln, it is better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Proverbs 13:3, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Sound advice. Avoid unrealistic promises. I bet your bottom dollar I'll be on time. To make promises that are out of our control is not a good notion. Verses 38 to 42. We're going to look at that now from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Here we are again, and Jesus is catching the Jews out again. He is good at catching them out and reminding them of just what the Torah is saying. What is the law really saying? The law wasn't a bad thing. It was a good thing. But they misused it. And we've got to be in Christendom that it doesn't become a religion. Do you know what I mean? It becomes a law. It takes hold of us. And we say, oh, no, this is the way we run the ship. We've got to look to His Word. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Amen. We see here, you have heard it said, this is where he catches them out, quoting Exodus 21:24, this was a civil law. It was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It was a civil law in the government of Israel to keep everyone on the same track. You can't just go around bopping people or doing whatever. But the religious leaders used it as a point of their own personal life to gain revenge. The religious leaders were saying, when you get wrong, get even. Sounds like things I've heard in the past. Be in or be left. Don't let them put that one over you. Take all you can get. Make them pay. But if anyone strikes you on the cheek, a slap in those days was a deep insult. Most people, there's only 10% that are left-handed. Did you know that? The rest of us are right-handed. So if I'm going to crouch you, I'm going to actually hit you on the other side of the cheek, aren't I? I'm not going to hit you on the right side of the cheek. I've actually got to back you. Would that be right? So that was a deep, deep insult to a person in Jesus' time. And he just says, turn the other cheek. These are the words of our Jesus. Just turn the other cheek. Just walk away. Let God defend you. You are bigger than that. That's really my title of my message today. You are bigger than that. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? And it's better to walk away. I got something on my wall. I quite often read this to myself. Good morning, I am God. Today I will be handling all your problems. Please remember that I do not need your help. If the devil happens to deliver a situation to you that you cannot handle, do not attempt to resolve it. Kindly put it in a something for Jesus to do box. It will be addressed in my time and not yours. Once the matter is placed in the box, do not hold on to it or attempt to remove it. Holding on or removing will delay the resolution of your problem. If it is a situation that you think you are capable of handling, please consult me in prayer to be sure it is the proper resolution. Because I do not sleep, nor do I slumber, there is no need for you to lose any sleep. Rest, my child, if you need to contact me, I am only a prayer away. You can have that because it's something that I sometimes want to just do it my way. Like Frank Sinatra, we did it my way. Just look how they insulted Jesus. They really insulted him, didn't they? 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, 21 to 23. If you got your Bibles there, we can turn to it. This suffering is all part of the work God has given you. Christ, who suffered for you, is an example. Follow in his steps. He never sinned, never told a lie, never answered back when insulted. When he suffered, he did not threaten to get even. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. What did they say about Jesus? He's a glutton. He's a drunkard. He's a blasphemer. I was reading in John last night. And about, is it chapter 10 or 11? He's a blasphemer. He's a drunkard. He's a madman. And you've got a demon. If someone, in verse 40, here we are, if someone wants to take your tunic, give him your coat. If he wants to have your, it's like saying, I want to take the shirt off his back. Mark, I'm going to have the shirt off your back. And he gives me his coat. What does all of this mean? It's really a principle saying, I want to protect your heart. Jesus is saying to his followers, it's better to be empty of all your possessions than to be full of bitterness and retaliation. You've met some Christians, they've been baptized in lemon juice. That's a Kelvin one, sorry. You know, they're full of bitterness. We're not to get bitter. We're to get better. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. You are better than that. Verses 41 and 42. Going with someone the extra mile. In Roman times, it was quite easy to come along and say, Tom, come with me. Come with me, and he's going to carry my pack. Yeah? You're going to carry it for me, brother. Here it is, and I'm going to walk away because you're a Jew, and you're just going to walk with that pack on your back. And he says, I just won't do it for 1 mile. I'll do it for two. You see what it's saying there? It is so good, isn't it? And he's saying that's the protection of your heart. Just going that extra little bit. And that's why Jesus is saying you're better than that. And as a follower of me, I want your heart to be protected by going that extra mile. It's better to let love rule your heart. Amen? Let love rule your heart. The next one is hairy. I don't mean hairy as in, but it's really kind of getting your head around it. Loving your enemies. Jesus catches them out again, quoting the Old Testament. It's a piece for their own advantage. This is a little piece that they extracted out of Leviticus, and they were quoting the law again out there with the Torah, what it says. And it was from Leviticus 19:18. You have heard it said. Do you notice that Jesus, all through that passage, he said, you have heard it said. So he's bringing them a roundabout to it, isn't he? He's saying, look, come back to this. This is what we need to do. We need to come back to it. He says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. They misquoted it. It says in that verse from Leviticus, love your neighbor as yourself. Right. Does that mean I am free to hate my enemy? No. Because Jesus says, love your enemies. What do we think that word love is in the Greek? It's agape. A love that chooses best for your life. It's God's love, isn't it? It's God's love. Love your enemies. Jesus is saying, you're better than that. He's lifting us, he's bringing us up to a higher level. You know, to love somebody is quite difficult if they've maligned you or they've mistreated you. And that's why we need God's love. We need to experience God's love to know how to express it. See, Jesus has wanted to lift us up higher, calling us higher than what we've ever been before. And that song that we take us further than we take us out of a comfort zone. I'm going to love that person. I'm going to love their soul. Do we love their soul? That's sometimes the hardest thing, isn't it? It's easy to love the lovable, isn't it? But the unlovable. Before we came to Jesus, we were God's enemies. You can read it in Mark 9. You're either for me or against me. Let's not forget. That's why Jesus stepped out of eternity, because he loved our soul. For God so loved the world. John 3:16, the verse 17. Didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And that's why Jesus took our place on that cross. And that's the kind of love he's calling us to. That he did a sacrificial love for you and I. And Jesus is calling us to a higher calling. And we get to verse 44. Bless them that curse you. And the Greek word there is, I hope I get this right, is your God. Now that's hard to bless somebody like that, because the word eulogo, we get the word eulogy. When you're at a funeral service, you get someone gets up and they speak about the person. They speak well of them. Well, you hope they're going to anyway. You speak nicely about them. Jesus is saying, I want you to speak well of them. Bless them. I don't want you to speak evil of them. I don't want you to slander them. I don't want you to gossip about them. I don't want you to get in amongst your friends and pull that person down. I want you to bless them. Jesus is saying, speak well of them, bless them. You are better than that. Amen? Because of who is living in us. You might say, I don't have anything good to say about them. I really don't have anything good to say about them. Well, I can still remember my mum saying to me, if you don't have anything good to say about them, oh, very good, very good. If you haven't got anything good to say about them, don't say anything at all. And I can still hear my mum saying that to me. Verse 44, do good to them. That's what Jesus is saying, do good to them. Don't stoop down to their level. Romans 12:17-18. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. And Jesus is saying, pray for your enemies. Yeah, right, God. Sick them. Sick them, God. Sick them. You see, that's where our emotions get pretty raw, don't they? That person, that guy she mistreated me. We should pray for people to be released into all the things that God has for them. Amen? I remember a few years ago, I had to do that, release them, just release them. I felt as though I was misunderstood, and I felt like I'd been totally misled down a path, and I thought, oh, and I had to pray for them, and I prayed that God would bless not only them, but their wives and their children. And it's releasing it, letting it go. I need to get better, not better. Our God sends a rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God is fair and just. Amen? sure there's coming a day when he will separate the righteous from the unrighteous. Till the day of judgment, until that day, we just have to leave it in God's hands. And we just need to act in the same way as he acts. And it just doesn't mean, like I said before, like showing honor to the people that we love or we get along with. We to act like Jesus, showing grace and love to all. That will guard our hearts against bitterness. And we have to be careful not to take things into our own hands. I'll just give them a piece of my mind. What's the word say? Vengeance is mine, and I shall repay, saith the Lord. Not vengeance is mine, Calvin, and you just give them a piece of your mind. That's not what it reads. Have to leave it with God. Walk away. It's behind me. I'm walking on. I've got my eyes on Jesus because his ways are higher than mine. And this chapter finishes that we are to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. We know that God is sinless, he's holy, and he's just. Amen? And you can see there that he is such a good God. He's holy and just in everything that he does. But he says there, you're to be perfect. Just as your Father is perfect in heaven. And the word perfect there can be translated as complete, whole, and mature. I am complete in Jesus. I am whole in Jesus. I am mature in Jesus. Perfect is used to convey a sense of spiritual maturity as followers of Jesus. We can see in his word what he says. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1. Talks about going on unto perfection. One translation says this: advancing steadily towards the completeness and the perfection that belongs in spiritual maturity. And Jesus is asking us, learn to keep your word. I want to bring out something this morning, something that came to me as I was preparing that. I don't know if you probably wonder why I've got this hand up. Found in the book of Ruth, which is just straight after the book of Judges, chapter 4. And we know that Boaz, he was talking about the kinsman to Naomi, because Naomi had come back from Moab with Elimelech, her husband had died there. She comes back, and she comes back with the Moabites, Ruth. And they had a real good friendship. There was a real love between them, between Ruth and Boaz. And of course, Boaz had said to Ruth, you know, I love you and I want to be part of your life. So there in chapter 4, I think it starts at verse 4, if you want to turn to it, and he says, he's there at the gate where all of them are discussing and talk where all the decisions were made. They were all made at the entrance of the gate. And the man who was the nearer kinsman said, he heard that Naomi wanted to let go the land. And he thought, yes, I will redeem the land. Yes, I will claim the land because I'm Amalek's closest relative. I'm his nearest kinsman. And of course, Boaz had worked this all out. And he said, okay, on the day that you inherit the land of Naomi, you inherit Ruth the Moabitess. Now she's a Gentile. They're adulterers. And his sons are getting quite old. And this is not going to go well for leaving my belongings or whatever to an adulterer. And then he throws down the sandal. And this was part of the covenant, and it's from Deuteronomy chapter 25. You want to look it up? And there's the sandal, and he throws it down at Boaz's feet. He said, you pick it up. And he picks it up. It's talking about us keeping our word, isn't it? And so the kinsman redeemer. We have a kinsman redeemer this morning who keeps his word. Amen? His name is Jesus. And he is in our midst this morning, and he wants to do a work in our lives. And I thank you, Royce, for what you brought about with these studies on the Sermon on the Mount. Because there's so much depth in them. And it's taking us further into the word and into the knowledge of Jesus and allowing Jesus to do a heart operation. Amen. I will take out your stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. In the book of Ezekiel 36. That's what he's wanting to do. Learning to keep your word. That man thought he was going to get the land. But he didn't. Because he didn't want what come with it. So it's keeping your word. Our Jesus is calling us to be kind, to be loving. Sure, it's not easy. Let's remind ourselves that our God is a covenant-keeping God. Amen? Yeah. He is a covenant-keeping God. If God broke his word, he would no longer be God. True? He is a covenant-keeping God. And the challenge I throw out to you this morning, before I hand this back to the music team and Royce, maybe you've been wounded. Maybe you've come this morning with a hurt. And it just seems a bit like a bit of baggage on you, behind you, and you're dragging it along with you. Let it go. Let it go. Let Jesus be your burden. Maybe there's bitterness in your heart. You're carrying around, and it hurts you, and you're wounded. Maybe your heart's a little raw today. We have a God who can heal you. Thank you, Mark, for getting Christopher out here and praying for people. Maybe there's people out here this morning who need prayer. Pray with you, pray for you.